Toya is an assistant professor in civil engineering. Is an assistant professor in civil, environmental, and agricultural engineering at the University of Colorado Boulder and SACNES Life member. She holds graduate degrees in mechanical and environmental engineering from Stanford University and postdoctoral fellowships in public health from the State University of New York and Harvard University. Dr. Montoya is a first-generation Chicana scholar who leverages her engineering training to achieve social and environmental justice globally. La doctora Montoya es profesora de Ingeniería Ambiental en la Universidad de Colorado Boulder y es un miembro permanente de Sociedad para el Avance de Chicanos y Nativos Americanos en Ciencia. La profesora tiene maestra y doctorado en Ingeniería Mecánica y Ambiental de la Universidad de Stanford. También recibo becas de postdoctorado en Salud Pública de la Universidad Estatal de Nueva York y de la Universidad de Harvard. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Montoya.
We have to adjust the microphone first. I'm small but mighty. So I have my statement prepared. So forgive me because I'm going to try to do it in two languages. I want to thank the organizers for the March of Science Denver for the opportunity to address this crowd today and to bring a message of urgency and hope. I am here to speak as a scholar from a community that is severely underrepresented in science and especially in engineering. I am a first-generation Chicana scholar, and I use my science and my engineering to achieve social and environmental justice globally. I am here representing the Society of Chicanos, Hispanics, and Native Americans in science. SACNES, for sure. My message will touch on four topics that should highlight the urgency and the hope in my message. Para mi gente que habla español, voy a tratar de repetir las partes más importantes en nuestro idioma. Mi mensaje es uno de urgencia y de esperanza. Hoy vengo a hablar como ingeniera y como científica chicana y mexicana. Vengo a representar a la sociedad para el avance de chicanos, hispanos y nativos americanos en la ciencia. Soy una persona que usa la ciencia y la ingeniería para luchar por la justicia social y ambiental a nivel global. First, I want to speak about the imperative for diversity in the practice of science and the creation of knowledge. As an engineer, I am trained to seek efficiency and optimization. Diverse teams produce higher quality research and products because they bring multiple perspectives. They cover a larger space to generate solutions. This country has an untapped wealth in its existing diversity. We are a country of immigrants, and if we are smart about it, we can form the best diverse teams in the world. We can be leading the world with the most complete and innovative solutions. This can only be possible if we educate all of our children and nurture all of our cultures. We have the raw materials, and we must utilize them properly. Let's advocate for diversity in all environments we're in. En primer lugar, quiero enfatizar que la diversidad es necesaria en la práctica de la ciencia y la generación de conocimiento. Es urgente que la ciencia y la tecnología en este país reflejen toda la riqueza de nuestras comunidades. Como ingeniera, he sido entrenada en las mejores universidades de este país, pero también busco la eficiencia y la optimización. Los mejores equipos de innovación son los más diversos y este país tiene una riqueza oculta en su diversidad. Somos un país de inmigrantes y podemos guiar al mundo con las soluciones más completas e innovadoras. Esto solo es posible si educamos a todos nuestros niños y fomentamos todas nuestras culturas. Hay que promover carreras de ciencia e ingeniería en nuestras comunidades. Hay que promover la diversidad en todos los ámbitos en que research that addresses the needs of disadvantaged communities. The product of science is data, and it is independent of any political ideology. Unfortunately, underrepresented minorities and indigenous communities are the first to be negatively impacted by policies that are not evidence-based. Our communities also shoulder the negative, the burden of pollution and poverty in disproportionate ways, and yet, our scholars receive the least support from funding agencies. We need to be efficient and effective in our problem solving by engaging and supporting the most qualified people to solve the problems in these communities. Those who are truly invested in solving those problems and not in preserving them. En español. En segundo lugar, necesitamos ciencia que resuelva los problemas y las necesidades de comunidades pobres. El producto de la ciencia es información, la cual es independiente de ideologías políticas. Desafortunadamente, las comunidades minoritarias e indígenas sufren las mayores consecuencias de políticas no basadas en evidencia. Estos problemas serán resueltos más eficientemente cuando personas de esas mismas comunidades participan en la solución de esos problemas. Necesitamos más científicos y más ingenieros latinos para ayudar a nuestras comunidades latinas. Arriba los ingenieros. Recognize that for me and many other scientists in the U.S. and around the world, science and faith are not in conflict with each other. Instead, together they create compassionate science. On this beautiful day, this beautiful and cloudy day, Earth Day, I join Pope Francis in his call to protect our home. To recognize the intimate relationship between the poor and the fragility of the planet. This is straight from his words. We need to hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. Let's practice conservation in our lives. Para mi gente. En tercer lugar, quiero reconocer que para muchos científicos como yo, en los Estados Unidos y en el mundo entero, no hay conflicto entre la ciencia y la fe. Al contrario, juntas forman lo que yo llamo ciencia compasiva. En este hermoso Día de la Tierra, me uno al llamado del Papa Francisco que nos dice, protejamos nuestra casa. Necesitamos oír el llanto de la tierra y el llanto del pobre. Practicamos la conservación en nuestras vidas. I'm almost done. Fourth and in closing, I want to reiterate that these are challenging times for humanity, not just the U.S. And we need as many scientists with the most perspectives and the best education possible to address these challenges effectively. Now, this is an engineer speaking, so listen. Science and technology inform and improve every aspect of our life, including public health, medicine, agriculture, education, energy, and the environment. Challenges like climate change and global poverty are very complex and require many perspectives and contributions. We cannot sit on the sidelines and leave them to others or for later. We are all in this together. Thank you. So, as the most diverse country in the world, we have the potential to lead in this solution. My hope, my very hope from the bottom of my heart, we will. After all, I'm Latina and I'm a mother too. My hope is that we will seize this moment in history and we will come together solutions for the entire world. Let's contact our political leaders and ask them to support science. En español, concluyo mi mensaje recordándole a mi gente que estamos enfrentando problemas muy difíciles para toda la humanidad, incluyendo el cambio climático y la pobreza global. La ciencia y la tecnología mejoran todos los aspectos de nuestra vida, incluyendo salud pública, medicina, agricultura, educación, energía y el medio ambiente. No podemos sentarnos y dejar estos problemas para otros o para después. Todos estamos en esto juntos. Mi esperanza es que nos unamos como una sola familia americana para solucionar estos problemas para el beneficio del mundo entero. Contactemos a nuestros líderes políticos para que apoyen a la ciencia. Con esto concluyo mi mensaje. Muchas gracias por su atención. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Dr. Lupita Montoya, I'm losing my voice already. Dr. Montoya, thank you so much for coming. All right, next on stage, Jennifer Ackerfield is an assistant. All right, there you go. She has her own fan base. She's the assistant curator at the Colorado State University Herbarium and author of The Flora of Colorado. She's also an instructor at the Colorado State University and is passionate about educating students in the wonderful world of botany.
Science. I think, give yourselves
gentlemen, next on stage, he's a local boy, Denver Public Schools, University of Colorado, BA, MA, PhD, Endocrinology, Colorado State University, DVM, still in practice after 35 years at Alameda East Veterinary Hospital in Denver. He's on the board of directors there, Denver, board of directors of Denver Zoo, board of directors, Smithsonian Institute, Washington, D.C., associate professor adjunct, University of Denver, 35 years, authored 60 chapters in veterinary textbooks, 150 articles in referred scientific journals, primary investigator reptiles, Ichnart Reserve Ichnart Research Preserve, Mongolia, and 27 expeditions worldwide studying endangered species, polar bears, penguins, vultures, rattlesnakes, sea turtles, Argali bighorn sheep, and Ibex mountain goats. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Fitzgerald.
Well, let me look at you. There's a lot of us. I'm here today because of one person, my mentor, Dr. Hobart Smith. He was a giant in the study of reptiles. He authored nearly 2,000 scientific articles in 60 books. He walked from the tip of South America to Texas from 1939 to 1944, and he named 200 new species. In 1949, while he was the chairman of the Department of Biology at the University of Illinois, the legislature told him to stop teaching evolution. He refused, he lost his job, and he was jailed for contempt of court. Just before his recent death, he contacted me and said, "It's happening again, and we have to speak up." From Hobart, I learned that there are 10 million other forms of life on the planet. We're given this wonderful biodiversity in our intellect. All these other species are waiting for us to use our intellect to save the place. It's no time to be defeatist. In conservation, our successes are temporary, but our failures are permanent. We must win this battle. There's so much bad news, but we can't give in to despair in inaction. We cannot merely be observers and watch our world disappear. We must be participants to save as much as we can of what is left and to restore as much as we can of what is gone. What can you do? It turns out quite a lot. Forget politics. We must recognize the common ground and realize that all of us have only one goal. To preserve the environment. Take action, get involved, support businesses and companies and politicians that have good environmental records. Educate yourself about the problem. Get involved locally, nationally, or globally. Donate your time, your money, or volunteer. What better way to start than mentoring children to love the earth? Organize outings, hikes, overnights, field trips. My grandfather gave me a pair of binoculars, probably to get me out of the house. And it changed my life. Up close to the binoculars, the lizard on the fence post became a dinosaur, and it started a lifelong love of nature. In my lifetime, this country's been wild about science. I can remember grade school classmates with polio, leg braces, and withered limbs. Then came the salt vaccine, and generations of children were spared. The space race in response to Sputnik saw the United States put a man on the moon and develop the space shuttle missions. The riddle of DNA was unlocked. Digital computers were born. Microchips appeared. And that wonder of wonders, the internet changed our lives forever. All these scientific miracles seem to point us human beings finally, freeing themselves from the darkness of myth and superstition and moving into the light of a new age. What happened? When did this country find that so many of its citizens and political candidates were such vocal anti-science sentiments against evolution, against human-induced climate change, against vaccinations, against stem cell research? When did it become acceptable and even desirable for U.S. politicians to be anti-science? Such anti-science positions are surprising since the largest drive of our economy since World War II have been science and its innovations in technology. When did it become acceptable for politicians to attack the very validity of science itself? The scientific concept separate from moral discourse. Once values, morality, politics, or hype are inserted into science, objectivity is lost, and it stops being science. When science loses objectivity, it loses credibility. Science cannot be based on faith or opinion, but upon knowledge. You're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. We must avoid scientific debate where one side is based upon knowledge while the other side is based on opinion. Unjustified beliefs are no longer made respectable by the virtue of their popular acceptance. The scientific method is based upon fact-based reasoning, based upon claims that can be tested rigorously. The role of the scientist is not to tell people what to believe, but rather to collect and disseminate information that tests our understanding of the world and offers possible explanations that fit the findings. Science must provide proof, and this proof must be credible, accessible, and verifiable. Science must never be elitist, mysterious, or off-limits. It must be available to everyone, and scientists must be available to everyone. And scientists must be able to popularize their work without bias or inserting their own beliefs. Science is only the truth, and if a hypothesis is right, evidence will bear it out. Science must be protected. We cannot afford to be silent or appeasing when it is attacked. We need to defend evidence-based decision-making and speak out, free of emotion, respectfully, but insistently. People ask me, why study and save frogs? I say, maybe by studying and saving frogs, we may yet learn how to save ourselves. Thank you.
Unfortunately, I have been silenced. Even though I'm a citizen and have the right to my own opinion, I am considered visible on my institution's projects and therefore cannot be associated with that opinion. I've been directed not to present anything with my institution's name, logo, or anything that would connect me with the work I do. There's a fear of politicizing the program despite the fact that the program is positive and supportive of science. I am not a government employee and I am not out to say ridiculous things. I am a citizen scientist, passionate about public policy and increasing funding for science. How can I be an active citizen if I cannot share my experiences with the public? Do I have to give up my career to be able to advocate for science? I fear that I may lose my job. I have already been reprimanded for expressing my opinion. For all of you listening, all of you at the march, if you work for an institution with similar policies, please consider how you can help work to change those policies. We cannot be silenced for standing up for our livelihoods.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Denver, Colorado, how you doing out there? I see the sun came out and went away and came out and went away. It looks nice out there. Next on stage is Dr. Erin McDonald. She received her PhD in astrophysics with the LIGO collaboration, and in the space science educator, using popular science fiction with astrophysics to teach the public about space. She works as a consultant for science fiction authors and is the global education manager for the UN-directed World Space Week. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Dr. Erin McDonald.
Astrophysics, and I also work for the UN World Space Week as a global working together to explore a galaxy, there is something awe-inspiring about that. If you think about 50 years ago, that sort of setup with crew would be impossible with the different places they were coming from. But by putting these characters in the future, in space, all those borders were removed, and they could work together without question. Mae Jemison, who was the first African-American woman to travel in space, she credits her career at NASA to being a young girl and seeing a woman who looked like her on the bridge of the Enterprise. There were no astronauts who looked like her, so she didn't have that to identify with, but she could turn on the television, and she knew that there would be people in space who looked like her in the future. This is also applicable to a little girl in the 90s who used to turn on the television and see a redheaded FBI agent on television who relied on data and facts, who wasn't afraid to don a lab coat, roll up her sleeves, and get to work. Representation matters. The more diversity we have in science, whether in reality or fiction, the more kids will see themselves in scientists and know that they can do whatever they want. So, in conclusion, I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming out today. As scientists, we are sometimes told to stick to science and stay out of politics. But when facts and data are solid, the humans behind the work can be flawed. We need to recognize that when we have people of all genders, all sexualities, all races, and all languages involved, the work gets better. Differing experiences and views brings innovative queries and solutions. So, as we move forward into the final frontier, from landing on Mars to exploring life in Enceladus, we need every single person at the table so that inner child in us that loves space can continue to imagine and explore. Live long and prosper. Science rules. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, next up, Ruth Farmer has focused her efforts on diversity and inclusion in technology and engineering since 2001. She most recently served as senior policy advisor for tech inclusion at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, where she led implementation of President Obama's call to action for computer science for all. Computer science for all American students, and advised on national tech inclusion policy. She advocates nationally for rigorous, inclusive, and sustainable computer science education on behalf of the CS for All Consortium, a big tent organization leading the CS for All movement. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ruth Farmer.
Thank you. Can we give Dr. McDonald another round of applause? She was singing my song. Representation does matter. So I'm going to talk about computer science, and I'm really glad that Governor Hickenlooper is coming on after me because I want him to hear what I have to say about this. So if you looked up directions to this march online, take computer science. If you have a phone in your pocket, thanks, computer science. And if you've ever taken a selfie in your life, thank you for the investment in NASA 50 years ago that created the digital camera that is used in all this technology today. So thanks, computer science, R&D. Computing underlies nearly all innovation and scientific discovery. It has made things possible like sequencing the human genome, pharmaceutical advancements, advancements in travel, advancements in technology. And I don't think there's a scientist here who would deny that they rely on computing. Also, all Americans, and especially all Coloradans, because this is my home, need to be computationally literate. Right? Program or be programmed. If you do not understand what is going on in the magic box in your hand, you are at the mercy of those who do. And it is critical that all students learn, understand what computation is. We spend 90% of our day relying on software, and the people who design that software are not neutral. So it is critical, as Dr. McDonald said,
ladies and gentlemen, Ruth Farmer. Thank you so much. All right, our next speaker is a former geologist and entrepreneur who recently added author to his resume with the publication of his memoir, The Opposite of Woe, My Life in Beer and Politics. Since taking office in 2011, the governor and his team have endeavored to make Colorado the most pro-business state with the highest environmental and ethical standards. And most recently, he was the big winner on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Governor John Hickenlooper.
Good morning. It's great to be among fellow geeks. As you know, science... guaranteed to get the right answer. Sometimes people that embrace science have come to different conclusions. I think the key is to recognize without science we're guaranteed to get it wrong. Science doesn't need to be political, and politics doesn't necessarily mean to drown out other voices. Agenda that we're facing in Washington now is trying to prevent science from getting the facts in the first place, and they're looking at an unprecedented rollback. Laws that protect our air and our water, they're against the investments in science and research. When you look at Colorado, Denver and Fort Collins are two of the 15 most polluted cities for ozone. And we know for a fact what mercury does to kids' brains, and we know how many cancer patients we have in need of a cure. This administration in Washington is proposing to slash the budget of the National Institute of Health, the EPA, the Department of Energy. Our national research labs could lose up to 20% or more of their budgets. You think about the National Renewable Energy Lab, the nation's top clean research lab, returned $5 for every dollar spent. You would think that a businessman like President Trump would understand this is called return on investment. We have almost 30 federally funded research laboratories in Colorado. It's a $2.6 billion impact, and they are finding the solution to climate change. The time is now to scale up those investments in research and make sure that we find those innovations that have the potential to change the future of the world. All Americans, Republican and Democrat, want breathable air. They want drinkable water. No issue should be less political. No issue should be studied more than the largest environmental challenge probably in history, that around climate change. And climate change cannot be reversed by throwing snowballs in the U.S. Senate, and climate change cannot be reversed by silencing scientists. And it would be a terrible, terrible mistake to withdraw from the Paris Accords. With science under attack, your participation today is just beginning. I apologize for the distraction, but you cannot give in to cynicism. Make sure you speak out, and I appreciate free speech and speaking out. Make sure you show up, and make sure you question everything. Ultimately, without science, we can never make the best decision. Science is not perfect, but it is the best tool we have to present to the challenges of the future. Thank you for being here. Speak out for science!